We're going to be in James 3. So, Haley, would you like to start with James 3, 1?
My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment.
A stricter judgment, right? So, James warns somebody, right? The readers. He's warning somebody. What is he warning them? What is he warning them? We just read it. Right, yes.
Who will receive a stricter judgment?
Who will? Teachers, right? So what were you going to add?
Teachers, those who are trying to teach in the word.
So when you're saying teachers, all I'm thinking of now is just kids. Like, I'm bad teachers, you're going to get.
Sorry. So he's saying, but what about the teachers? That everybody should be a teacher? Or that, what is he saying? We just read it. It's not even on there. That not many should be teachers, right? So he's putting it in college, not many should be teachers. Why do you think that is? From what you just read, why do you think that is? Because what?
They're not smart enough.
Because they're not smart enough. In some cases, like this case, maybe.
Well, I'm thinking more along the lines of like the wrong teacher teaching the wrong stuff. So then those people who learn it are thinking that's how it is.
Yeah, I think that's a bingo, right? I figured that there's basically three options here. Is that if James bringing this up, obviously that means there must have been a lot of people trying to be teachers, right? Because why would he bring it up if it's not happening? So, obviously, this is happening, is that a lot of people are trying to be teachers. Now, in this day and age, it's a little bit different, but back then, teachers were shown honor, right? It was a place of honor. You know, they were kind of a high title, and people would look up to them. So, there's a lot of, like, mothers and fathers would be like, hey, my son should be a teacher, a rabbi, somebody who's been honored. So it was somebody what just, you know, that somebody aspire to be like. Now, just because they want to be a teacher doesn't necessarily mean that they should be a teacher, right? Because it's why are they doing it? Why are they doing it? Are they doing it because God called them to do it? Are they doing it so they look good in man's eyes? So obviously, there's the right way and there's the wrong way, right? We all know if you're called, if God calls you and it's put on your heart, then yeah, you know, he's called you to be a teacher. But if you're doing it just to make yourself look good or, you know, have people think that you're better than what you are, then no, that's a bad thing, right? Two is kind of what Brendan touched on, is if I were, and I'll use myself, if I were to teach you something that stumbled you, even if I didn't mean to, it's still my fault, right? If I would teach you a lie, and then you believed it because I normally would not teach you a lie, right? Unless I didn't know it or something. But so if I would stumble you guys, it's all my fault. Anything would happen later on if you If you stumble somebody else, because you teach them that, saying, oh yeah, it's this way, and then it go down, all those stumbles are all those lives. If that would stop you from getting to heaven, that would be on my fault. So I will be judged stricter than you in that case. You understand? Because I have a responsibility not to lie. And I do. I don't ever want to teach you guys anything wrong. I would never teach you anything wrong. And then the third is that if you are a teacher, you need to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. Meaning that, you know, once you're done teaching, you can't just go off, you know, and do something bad outside. Because what if somebody saw you? That's another stumbling block and so forth. That makes sense? So, because of the influence a teacher has, the judgment is going to be more strict. You know, God is very protective of his kids. He's very protective of you guys. You know, he loves you and he wants to take care of you. In Matthew, so keep your finger in James, but in Matthew chapter 12, God bless you. Verse 36 and 37. Matthew 12, 36 and 37. All right. So it doesn't just apply to teachers, it applies to you guys, but especially teachers. Everything I say, there will be an account of it. Right? And then we're back in James on James 3, 2. Next. Okay, so here James, you know, is saying that, you know, if you don't stumble in your word, you know, if you never do that, you know, you're gonna be perfect, basically. And even shows his humbleness is that we all stumble in many things. You know, we all stumble in many ways. Right? In Romans, we read Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. TJ?
Romans chapter
3. Yeah. Romans
3:23.
All right, so we all fall short. You know, James is saying basically the same thing, is we all fall short. You know, sometimes we stumble. In our hearts, in our heart of hearts, you know, lies bitterness, hate, and jealousy. Right? Because we all fall short. I mean, we cover it up. I'm hoping we all cover that up, right? We're in control of it. But, and we need to be in control of it. But James pointed out in this area, people fall short. The words that we use, you know, that there's I was always told that from your head, there's a direct line to your mouth. You know, there might be an intersection there with a little stoplight, which we should be able to control our words, but sometimes they run that red light, right? Sometimes they slip out. Anybody ever have foot and mouth disease? Or you know what that is, right? Open mouth, insert foot, meaning that you say things before you think about them, before you think it all the way through, right? Sometimes out of anger, sometimes just frustration. Sometimes everybody slips up. I mean, we need to control it, but everybody slips up. Let's face it, right? Don't we? Speaking before we think happens. You know, James says, if we do not stumble in this area, we're perfect. You know, obviously the tongue, and when it talks about the tongue, is talking about our words, our language, because it's not the physical tongue that sins, right? It's a very hard body, the hardest body part to control. But if we can control that tongue, the rest of the body is more easily controlled. In James 3, verse 3, Ryan, can you read that?
Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that may not obey us, and we turn their whole body.
All right. So, does everybody know what a bit is for a horse? Huh? What is a bit?
It just like goes in their mouth to help them stay in control. Sometimes it could cut them, but it can cut their mouths open.
Right. But it can. But it's there so that we could control it, because a horse is not stronger than us, are stronger than us. It's definitely don't be stronger than us, right? They're a very powerful animal, full of muscles, right? So, but with that little bit, you know, you pull one thing, this strong animal will turn to the right, it'll turn to the left, right? It obeys. So words, in the same sense, words can be very influential, right? Even the smallest word can change somebody's direction or change the course of which way they are going. You know, they can help or they could undermine, they could demean, or they could edify or help those words, you know, the words that we use. In James 3:4, Brendan.
Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder.
All right, so there's another example, right? A ship being so huge and the wind blowing it, but a small rudder, meaning, again, a small amount of words or tiny words. Those words are important. The words that we choose to say out loud to people are very important. 5 and 6. Let's start over.
Even though the tongue is a little member and boasts great things, see how great a forest and a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire and world of
iniquity.
Fire the courses of nature, and it is set on fire of fire.
All right, so living up in the forest, most of us experience, you know, forest fires, right, or have seen forest fires. How do they start? Could be a cigarette, a little spark, right? And it spreads. It moves very quickly, especially if there's wind behind it. Moves very quickly. Yuri's kind of mainly what moves very quickly as far as words. Or there's a term, what can move very quickly when you use words. Wildfire.
Spread.
But it's a term. It's usually a bad term I'm looking for.
A rumor
or gossip. That's good.
I was just thinking of like the rumor weed from VeggieTales or something. That's the only reason
I remember. So rumors are gossip. They spread very quickly, especially when they're fueled, right? And it could grow just like a wildfire, not flower. It could grow very big and huge, and it could destroy lives. It can really destroy lives. I remember there was this old movie, and I'm saying it's old because it was around, well, it aired when I graduated, so it's very old, ancient. It was called 3 o'clock High, but it was about a high school days, and every event that happened spread throughout the school. It was, you know, and within the next hour, everybody knew what has happened. They might have some details wrong, they fabricated some little things, but they knew everything that happened. And this was before cell phones. Believe it or not, cell phones were not invented at the beginning of time. I was around when there was no cell phones. Yes. I found it kind of, it is one of those ironic things. But anybody else experience? Yes, rotary phones were around. I had a rotary phone. Anybody ever experienced that or seen that happen? Been a party to that, right? The rumors or things going around. True story, and I think I might have shared this, so some of you might. But my daughter, when she did attend Blue Ridge High School, I was working there one day. I'm an electrician, and I was working there. I made a little bit too much dust, and the fire alarm went off. And no lie, within 15 minutes, I get a phone call going, "Dad, did you set off the fire alarm?" Within 15 minutes, you know, she was nowhere near where I was, but she knew. That's how quickly things can happen. How quickly words travel, right? But social media, I feel, has taken everything to a whole new level. A whole new level. You know, there's some good things about social media, but I think there's a lot of evil with social media because there's a lot of hateful things, feel very protective when they're behind a screen. That people say a lot of hateful things. I don't know exactly why or why they feel like people need to hear that, but it is not good. Any comments? Anybody know feelings about that? No? Huh? Kids shouldn't have it.
Shouldn't have social media.
That's a thought, especially kids if you are prone to lash out like that, then definitely you need to get that out of your life. If that's a temptation to lash out, you are absolutely correct. You should not be on any social media. You know, get that part out of your life. Anybody else? No? All right. And then where are we on James? James
7
and 8. Right? All right, so mankind has tamed just about every wild animal, right? Just about. You know, a couple weekends ago, me and Michelle and my daughter, we went to Out of Africa Zoo. Has anybody ever been there? Out of Africa? It was crazy. We were walking by, and then all of a sudden, there's this zookeeper. He's just walking along a lion, you know, and just petting it. It's like, it's kind of crazy. It makes you feel like, oh, I should just jump over the fence. No, but the lion doesn't know me and probably eat me. But it was, yes?
I don't think that would be a good idea because recently a lady crossed the like barrier of the tiger pen and got
I think it was there.
I think it was like the two
chimes. Yeah. It was crazy though that they were just like rubbing on
her. But it is crazy. But it gives you that false sense. It's like, oh, hey, I could do that. They're just a big cat. No. It's yes.
The lady in Alaska, she crossed a barrier and polar bears and ripped her arm off.
Oof.
Ripped her all off.
Oof. The hyenas were kind of wild. Well, they said that actually we did the tour and they said the zebras were really aggressive. Because it yank you, like grab hold of your hand and yank it. They said is, you know, because that's why God gave them stripes is because they should be in prison, right? In horse prison.
They will kill baby zebras. The males will kill baby zebras.
Really?
Well, they
goldfish will do that too. They'll eat.
I know.
Baby.
We had a goldfish that kept eating our babies that were in the tank.
That's kind of weird. I don't know. But anyways, however, you know, we've tamed all kinds of fierce wild beasts, but a small part, you know, again, this is just a small part, it's just your mouth, right? Mankind hasn't even come close to taming that, right? Because even if we keep it in control, mankind as in a whole, there's all kinds of people saying all kinds of crazy things out there, right? We have to deal with it every day. But they haven't tamed that tongue. In James 3, verse 9 through 12. Got a long one for you. All right, so they're saying with that same mouth, our same mouth, right, there's blessings and there's cursing. But as far as Christians go, we have God and the Holy Spirit, and they're here to help us, right? They're here to help us and help us keep our tongue in check. Meaning that with the Holy Spirit, that's how we could tame the tongue. You know, mankind in a whole, if they don't have God on their side, you know, with God, everything's possible. You know, without God, some things are impossible. In Proverbs, let's turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23. 21,
23. Mr. TJ. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble.
That sounds good, right? Okay, who says it sounds good? All right, what does it mean? Kaylee, what does it mean?
Whoever like speaks right, they will have troubles later on in life and pain.
Right.
Like
exactly. Exactly. Awesome answer. Did you have something else to say?
She covered it.
She covered it? All right. So, I mean, so it helps us stay out of trouble speaking correctly or speaking without ill words, right? Without being crude and hateful. It helps us stay out of trouble. Another old movie, and I like, I don't know why, this one's from my childhood, so it's even older, but Thumper Senior said, anybody know what I'm about to say?
Thumper Senior said what?
Thumper Senior said, if you do not have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Right? That was Thumper's dad, Thumper Senior. Yeah, light bulb. Ephesians. Ephesians. Let's turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Chapter 4, verse 29. You got it, Ryan?
No.
You're on it. 29.
Oh.
Okay, got it.
All right. You would like to read it for everybody?
Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good of necessary
edification.
That it may impart grace into the hearers.
All right, so, explanation. Brendan?
Well, it could be taken like corrupt as in curse words.
It could. Could very well be. Don't say curse words. Good. I don't think we should. It's a foul language. Right?
Sugarcoating your words.
Huh?
Sugarcoating.
Sugarcoating your words? Yeah, I mean, in a sense, I mean, you mean saying nice things, right? Right. Yeah, instead of something bad. Not that we're thinking bad things and we have to sugarcoat them, but we're just saying nice things. Because what does edification mean? What does that mean? If I am edified, it makes me feel good, right? I'm edification. It's making others feel good. So if you say mean things about people, if you don't sugarcoat your words about people, if you cuss at people, it's probably you know, they're not feeling so good about themselves, correct? Correct? Maybe so. I don't know. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation of somebody else talking down to you. It's probably not the nicest thing, right? No, it doesn't make you feel good. So it's about other people's feelings, right? We're other-centered. Christians are other-centered, right? All right, so what are we getting out of this? About our words. Think before we speak. Awesome. Awesome.
Don't be rude when you speak to others.
Don't be rude? Obviously, yes. Right? James is talking about all this. And we need to take it to heart. Yes.
We can be a light because if we don't say bad words and stuff, we can stand out more.
Awesome. Awesome. We're always God's example, right? God's witness for other people. Right, right. Imagine Jesus in the room, and then we all feel, then we all better, we're all in our best behavior, right?